God is in the midst of her. Praise God. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The scripture says, God is our refuge and our strength. Yes. Now, let's get to the point as to why at this particular time we want to talk about refuge and we want to talk about your strength. The reason is, brethren, because it is revealed to the church that soon and very soon there is going to be widespread chaos and destruction in our cities, widespread riots and distress of nations, and that the people of God are being prepared to save the nation. That this nation would go under had it not been for the people of God.
Well, glory. Yes.
That the guns that we have are not going to save us. The atomic weapons and the power of war is not going to save us. But that the Christian people who really know their God is going to save this nation and save the whole world at large. And you said, Brother Dussel, I would be willing and ready to believe you.
Well, glory.
If you could show me in Scripture a place where that is in Scripture, let me tell you, two-thirds of your Bible is devoted to telling you about the destruction that will come upon the earth. But to be more specific, we turn to Matthew 24. And we see that Jesus said that there is a time coming in the world when the world would face annihilation, that every human being would face being wiped out off the face of the earth, but that God gave Noah a promise by a rainbow. And the promise said, I will never again allow this to happen. So we know it's not going to be. But the circumstances of today are pointing to such a destruction. In Matthew 24 and verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Whenever we see the word shall, in the third person, it means must. Those days shall be shortened. It means God says it must be shortened. But it's only going to be shortened because of the elect's sake. That means to say the plan of Satan will not come to pass. Satan is planning to destroy the United States completely and to kill every human being that would kill every soul in the world. This nation cannot go down unless the world goes with it. You understand what we're talking about? We're not talking politics. We're talking Bible. Amen. Christians forget their righteousness. That turn from their righteousness to politics for salvation. That is called unholiness.
Yes.
Ungodliness.
Yes.
Regardless of what anybody else call it. The people of God are now submitting themselves to the things of the world to get results. That is ungodliness. And I don't care what it is. What type of submission that we are doing, that is ungodliness. But let us go back to this word that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago. Looking down, he said, there would come such a tribulation on earth as never was since God made man. Verse 21. That means it has not come yet. Do you hear me? It means that it has not happened yet. And that we are faced with it right now in our time And I'm not talking about 10 years time. I am definitely not talking about 10 years. I don't think I'm even talking about 5 years. And I want you to know how near we are to this point. And you hear people talking about Jesus will soon come. Have you ever heard them saying that Jesus will soon come?
Yes.
But you know something? It loses its effect.
That's right.
You go out the street and start to preach, Jesus will soon be here. People don't even pay any attention to you. Because for the past 100 years, men have been preaching that Jesus will soon come.
Tell the truth. Amen.
So if you preach a thing for 100 years, even the Christians are dull. Glory to God. When you tell them Jesus will soon come, you're going to have to tell them something more. You're going to have to tell people something more definite than Jesus will soon come. Moreover, the scripture in Revelation, where he said, behold, I come quickly. What's that? Revelation 22. He said, behold, I come quickly. The translation is not quickly to give its proper meaning. It's suddenly. It's suddenly. So while we are looking for destruction on the earth, we are also looking for a sudden occurrence. Yes. Something that is going to happen suddenly. Seven.
27.
Yes, behold, I come suddenly. Anybody has another translation? Amplified? Behold, I come suddenly. I want you to believe me. I'm speaking it from the Greek translation. Suddenly. It means to say, as the lightning flash. One of these days when we are doing our business, the coming of Jesus will be here.
Yes, yes.
But let me tell you a secret. It's not going to be as we are told by the church, yes, as we believe it. And we are going to touch on that tonight. We're going to touch on that tonight so that you might know what to expect. But let me go back upon the refuge. What God has been speaking to us about. Now is the time to hide. I'm not deceiving you, and I'm not hiding it from you. Now is the time to hide. But what kind of hiding are we going to hide? Because he said that the rocks themselves would be trying to find some place to hide. Amen. I heard that in Russia, for 10 years now or more, they have been digging underground, digging deep to make caverns. They have been storing food underground. They have been putting in every form of equipment that people will want to live for months and months and even years underground. And they have been making shelters to shelter the millions of the population of the cities underground. So somebody went to the Defense Department. And to add to that, I'll cut myself a little. So has China. And China been digging like, you know, beavers. Working, building underground. Whole cities are underground. And all that you need to live in the city and pump air in and purify air and everything is under there for them to live underground. So somebody went to the Defense Department of the United States and said, how come all these countries are digging underground and building underground, and the United States isn't doing anything to dig underground or to find a place underground for its people to hide? And the Defense Department says that the bombs that we have, they go underground. When they strike, they go so deep that no shelter. Shelters will only become a death trap. That was the answer they gave. They blew one of the bomb on a little island, and when the smoke cleared away and they went to the island, they didn't find the island. What they found was a hole 300 feet deep in the bottom of the sea. That means to say the sea bottom, then 300 feet off the sea bottom was taken out. It took out the island and atomized the island. And it atomized 300 feet of the sea bottom with it. Hallelujah, brethren. We're talking about what man can do. Amen. So therefore, if man is seeking a physical hiding place, I'm saying God help you. For there is no physical hiding place except where God tells you to be when He wants you to be there. I hope we are listening. For there are people running right now. Right now as we sit here, there are people running to the wilderness here and there and everywhere. Praise be to God. But when God tells you move, you move. And we better move where He tells you to move to. Otherwise, don't move.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. Three boys were down in Babylon. And they defied the king of Babylon. They would not bow to the image. And they threw them into a fire. And they light the fire seven times hotter to burn them. And God wanted them in the fire. So He preserved them in the fire. The fire only served to set them free. Burn their bands and set them free. But they were walking in the fire. I want you to understand what we're talking about. We are talking about divine providence. We are not talking about people who must go around now and save food and find places to hide food. You know, squirrels do that. Amen. And rats do that. And ants do that. And under ordinary circumstances, it's good. Yes, it's good not to throw away things. Instead, if you have too much food, don't throw it away. Never waste. You're going to want. But if there's going to be a famine here, brethren, and everybody is going to be hungry, brethren, and you put up food, brethren, you are going to have to give away the food, brethren, according to the love of God. I can't see you being fat and feeding up on a secret catch of food you have somewhere and your neighbor dying of hunger. You can't see a man out the street dying of hunger and you have food and don't take him in and give him to eat. And if you ever do that, then he's going to go outside and tell everybody where food is. And they'll be coming for food. And when the food finished, they'll kill you because they believe you're hiding some more. And this is the simplest proposition, amen, for those who hide food. A certain spirit is telling a certain people to store 4 years of food, each family. And that spirit has now given a new order to these people to store guns and ammunition. And I'm telling you, brethren, if you don't believe God, store food, store guns, prepare to die, fighting. You hear me? Because the Bible said, the man who fight with the sword will perish by the sword. And somebody said, the Bible didn't say gun. The Bible didn't say the man who fight by gun will perish by gun. Well, you go fight by gun. And you'll find out whether the Bible said so or not. Because the word of God does not have to speak to carnal people. The Bible says that the carnal man understandeth not the things of God. And whether the Bible said gun or sword, as a matter of fact, I would be surprised. I would be surprised if I saw a Bible that said gun. Because it would mean that somebody tamper with the word of God. Amen. It's like how we see the word Lucifer. A Latin word in the middle of a Hebrew Bible before Latin was invented. Isn't that strange? Can you imagine God putting in Latin in the Bible before Latin was invented? There was no language named Latin when Isaiah was written. And yet, in the middle of this language, in the middle of this thing, there is the word Lucifer, saying that an angel in heaven, his name was Lucifer. That must be a lie. Somebody tampered with it. When you look in the original, you see the angel's name was Hillel. Lucifer was never in the Bible. And these are the kind of things we're talking about. So, the Bible said that guns, if you store gun, and you practice to shoot gun, and you're a gunman, you're going to perish by gun. It's simple as ABC. We are talking about the weapons of our warfare, which are not what? Carnal. But what are they? Mighty. They're not carnal, but they are more powerful than the carnal weapons. They are mighty, said God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, glory to God, amen. And to the defense of God's people. And we better start shining up our weapons. Amen. Start cleaning your weapons. Start believing in your weapons. For God said, your weapon is mighty. Hallelujah. We continue. God says that the time of refuge is at hand. And you ask yourself the question, how do we know that 1982 is a time to start looking about your exit door or looking about your hiding place? How do we know for sure, Brother Dussel? Tell me something that I will know for sure. Well, God said he was not going to do anything unless he would tell his prophets. And God's not going to die, make you die, or make you, the church, perish because prophets are careless and not hearing. God's going to take up stones and people who are no prophets at all and make them prophets overnight so that you might hear.
Yes, yes.
Ah, glory to God. Did you hear that?
Yes.
And so God wants you to hear. And when you hear, you're going to be guilty. You're going to be guilty of hearing. And God's going to expect you to do what God wants you to do, because the time is now. The tabernacle represents 2,000 years. Amen. The tabernacle represents 2,000 years. Because the tabernacle is the church. And the church started at Pentecost. It is as simple as all that. John chapter 7 and verse 39 tells us that the living waters could not flow because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost could not come. John 7:39. Okay. It says, but he spake he that believeth, verse 38, on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. So the church started with the coming of the Holy Ghost. And the coming of the Holy Ghost brought salvation. The death of Jesus Christ's resurrection brought salvation. So this is the gate, and this is the door, and this is the veil. Three places. And of these three places, we find that time is involved. You're going to ask me, how much time? Where are we tonight, Brother Seth? How do you know we are here tonight? I am going to show you in very simple terms why we are where we're supposed to be. You know that salvation was already given. So if this is salvation, justification by faith, that's past. Will you say amen? Amen. Salvation given long ago. Okay, then the church was given baptism. And we see that long ago, baptism given in the church. So that time is also past. And the church was given the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is represented by the candlestick. So you know that that time is also past. And then the knowledge increased, so that we began to learn how to feed on Christ. And knowledge has increased to such a degree that any of you here can pick up a book and read Greek, although you don't know Greek. You can see what was written in the original, because you have an interlinear Hebrew, you have an interlinear Greek. You can flick a page and find any scripture you want. As scripture comes to your mind, you can look up a concordance. So knowledge has increased as far as the Word of God is concerned to a great degree. So knowledge has been poured out. So all is left for us now is the... I wonder if you're following me, brethren. Mm-hmm. I really want you to follow me. We're seeing where we are. We're going to find out where we are by just analyzing the things that have passed already. We find out that this here represents the offering of the soul. But this here represents the veil. That's the veil. This barrier here is the veil. Now, if we had entered through the veil, are you there? If we had entered through the veil, then Jesus Christ would already have come in his fullness in the church. You hear me? For the veil means the breaking through. Let me draw for you. If this is your spirit, this is your soul, and this is your body, then this would be your outer court, and this would be your holy place, and this, the Spirit, would be your holy of holies. So we would now be in the holy of holies. And if we were in the holy of holies, you wouldn't need me to preach to you tonight.
Amen.
Oh, may God bless your living minds to really rise up to hear me. Haba. You know, just to hear what I'm saying. Yes. For I'm not speaking words. I'm speaking by the Spirit to you. Yes. And I want you to hear in the Spirit what I'm saying. Yes. That means that if we left this point number, let's number them. Point number one, point number two, point number three, point number four, point number five. If we sure we left point number four, and we have not reached point number six. So where are we? Come, watch me again. We are sure we passed one. We are sure we passed two.
We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it's widespread all over the world. So we are sure we passed three. Time we are following now. We're sure we got into four. Somewhere we are sure of four because of the spread of knowledge. Amen? All right. We are not sure if we are at five. Let's say we're not sure if we are at five, because five is the offering of man's soul to God. But we are not at six. We haven't gone through the veil to get to six. So where are we? What is between four and six? Hallelujah. Look, brethren, we pass here. We haven't got to here. So where are we? We are at five. Now, could I show you what's to happen at five? If I show you what is going to happen at five, will you know now tonight where we are? Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation. Revelation. And you take, let's see. Well, by me, I was thinking of six first. And in verse 15 it said, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men of the, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." So let me just put something here. Oh, I forgot to have read up here so that you'll see it's the sixth seal. 12, verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal." Okay? Now, this is the sixth seal then. Number 6 is the sixth seal. Okay? Are we there? When the sixth seal opened, man must hide. Isn't that what we just read?
Yes.
Okay. So then, hiding. See, it said, "The rocks fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." Why? Because God's wrath will be poured out at number six. So where are we? We're at five. But five been carrying on for a long time, and it's possible that we are at the end of five, because the beginning of five is the seal opening. You know what the seal is? The seal is the mystery of the gospel being preached. When men reject it, the judgment comes. Do you hear me? So then, watch it now. The opening of the mystery is the opening of the seal. The preaching of the mystery is the trumpet. And the rejection of the mystery is the wrath. My God. Can you make us understand tonight, Lord? Just let these people understand what we're talking about. You want me to go that over before we step on? God has seven mysteries in the gospel. Seven mysteries that man had not been able to open or to see unless Jesus Christ says, "Time up. Time for this mystery to be revealed." We've been preaching salvation, but the mystery of salvation was not open to the church until a certain point of time. Are you there? Now, because that is the case, God has a mystery called number five mystery, which is the mystery of man surrendering his soul to God. For it is by the surrender to God that we are protected. Amen. I'm going to read that for you in the scripture. But let me just clear these points. Now, the reason that you must surrender to God and be protected at the fifth seal, when the seal is opened, it means a mystery. There's no more mystery. God opened up the mystery that men start preaching it all over the world. Revelations coming on the one point of surrendering your soul to God. Now, when that is done, and God's seat done, then God says, all right, Satan, man is at the stage now where you can let loose. And God allow him to open up his wrath upon the earth. At that time, you will be protected. Hallelujah. For you will run under the shadow of the Almighty. So, can you understand what we're talking about? Now, because of this then, tonight I am saying that we who were for a long time at the sixth seal, we have long passed the sixth seal, we are now at the sixth trumpet. Let's turn to the sixth trumpet and see what happens when the sixth trumpet opens. You go to number 9. And verse 13, somebody read the 13th verse for me.
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God.
Wait, stop. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the fifth. Did you hear me? The voice came from the fifth stage, which is the stage at which man surrenders his soul to God as a sacrifice. Love not their lives unto the death. You forget your soulishness. Forget your ambition. Forget what you wanted to be from you were a little girl or a little boy. Huh? You put aside everything and lay it down at the cross of Jesus Christ. This is what we're talking about. The voice that ushers in the sixth is the fifth, the golden altar. Now go ahead, next verse 14.
Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men.
Oh my God, help us. Help us, God, that we understand tonight what we're talking about. God was letting loose destructive spirits who were supposed to only have power a certain year in the history of time, a certain month in that year, and a certain day. Do you hear what I'm saying? They couldn't be let loose before. In time, God has a time when he will have to let loose these angels because of justice. But when the church has received her power to handle the situation, or to hide from the powers that be, then God must let them loose. God can't hold them any longer. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
To further explain this point, you turn to Revelation 7. For you see, Revelation is nothing but summary and explanations of the summary, of the details. You give you a long summary, so, write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then it explains in the next chapter, explains the details that are inside there. So if you see Revelation 7, you see, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of earth. That's carnal man, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. The same four angels we're talking about. Four angels of destruction that stand on top of man's mind, man's emotion, man's will, man's desires, four corners of the earth. And he said, loose the four angels. Let them go. Now, we go on a little bit further. Now, no, we can leave that out. We don't want to go into there, those details. But if you understand that they are going to kill the third part of man. And when you talk about the third part of man, you don't mean if the human beings on the earth is 3 billion people, that they're going to kill 1 billion. That's not what it means by the third. You understand? If it said a third, it might mean that. But when it says the third, you're talking about the carnal man. The man who is out in the outer court unprotected. Those who are doing their own thing and not under the protection of God. That's the third of man. You see, now you read, to make sure that's what it means, you read Psalm 91 for me. Somebody just run a few verses there. Somebody run a few verses for me in Psalm 91.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Good.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
My fortress.
My God.
Yes.
In Him will I trust.
Yes.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Thank you. Now, I want you to understand what we're talking about. The scripture didn't say every Christian is going to be delivered. It said only those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And when the scripture said the secret place of the Most High, it meant right at this point. Because it said they will be under the shadow of the wings. Since you know God don't have wings and feathers, then you must know it's symbolic language talking about in the right where the Shekinah glory dwells. So those of you who dwell here will be safe.
Yes, yes.
Now, where then? Look at this. If I should draw a line right down from the human realm to the church realm, you will see that he's talking about those who dwell in the spirit. Don't you see? This is spirit. So those who dwell in the spirit will be under the shadow of the Almighty. All I am saying tonight, brethren, is that you need to be in the spirit. And when I ask you to be in the spirit, you're going to say, "But how can I be in the spirit any more than I am tonight?" And I think God has given me some means of telling you. Amen. One of the things I'm going to ask you to do is when you go home, pray sincerely about this message and ask God to strengthen you and try to get a good rest tonight and come back refreshed tomorrow night to hear some more. Amen. Because if you are tired, the devil takes advantage of you. Did you know that? When you are tired at home, you seem to be just irritated over things that you shouldn't be irritated over. The devil takes advantage of tired people. When you come to church and you're tired, you can't hear the message. You can't put it together. And this is a deadly, deadly serious message. You might not know it, but when you look back, over a couple months' time, you will say, "Well, of a truth, of a truth. That message was right on time. God never sends a message that is not dead on time. Praise be to God. And so I want you to take good note of it, that we are dealing with this space between the fifth and the sixth seal. But something funny here, there is a veil here. Is Brother Dussel saying that I am going to enter through the veil in a very short time? I'm saying you may. I'm saying you may. And the reason I'm saying you may, and I am not saying you will, is because some of us won't. I'm saying that the people who don't care, that are lackadaisical, who are taking it easy, who are not looking about the conditions of the soul, will be unprepared. Because the preparation for entering through the veil is within your own consciousness.
Amen.
You have to start looking and checking on how many people you have something against, or somebody has something against you. You have to start obeying the scriptures and getting rid of the problems in your life.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost is mighty tonight to
yes.
deliver you.
Yes.
You hear me? The
yes.
Holy Ghost is ready to deliver anyone who calls upon Him for deliverance from the problems within you. Many times we go to pray, we don't know what to pray for. God is saying, begin to pray about your own soul condition. You pray about your husband, you pray about your wife, you pray about your friend, you pray about the brethren. God is saying, now pray about you. Pray about your own soul condition and ask God to put this searchlight inside of your own consciousness, that you might see yourself and that you might repent and make whatever sacrifice the golden altar is calling for. For the golden altar is calling for sacrifice of the soul. People not thinking of themselves anymore as people. Not thinking of your own pride. Not thinking of your own, your own, your self-life. Laying down your self-life and saying, my God, if I hurt that person, regardless of what the person did me. I lay down my self-life, I forget myself, my God, I did say something that was wrong. I did hurt that person. Because that's all that matters before God. You see, it doesn't matter what the person did you. It's what you did the person. Because if the person was wrong and you were wrong, God's not going to talk to you about the person's wrong. He's going to talk to you about your wrong. And this is what God wants, because the temple, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come suddenly to His temple.
Yes.
And when you ask, where is Jesus coming to His temple? If you turn your Bible to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Let's hit those few verses, the first verses there.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap.
Yes, praise be to God. We're talking about Jesus Christ coming suddenly. Jesus Christ coming suddenly. And do you know why He has to come suddenly? The world is in danger of extinction. And I've been asking God for years and years and years, God, tell me how you're going to save the world. You say, for the elect's sake. You said you will shorten the time, but you never told me how. And do you know that God was kind enough to show me how it's going to be done? He says, you are going to rise up and cry out, God, save your people. And God will hear the church, and God will stop the destruction.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it.
Glory.
Amen. It means that we need to get our business fixed.
Yes, yes.
Oh, glory to God. Because between us, brethren, tonight, there is preparation to destroy the United States. Tonight. Tonight, men are being trained to attack this country. Tonight, the forces of hell are being getting ready, being prepared to bring a physical invasion and a destruction of the United States. As God showed me 30 years ago when he told me he was sending me to the United States and I would come just before the destruction. I've been here 12 years. I thought it was going to be down the road. I said, oh my God, couldn't you give us some more time to preach? Hallelujah. And I get to understand that our time is running out. I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. So I'm not telling you about darkness alone, but I'm telling you about light. I'm telling you about the morning breaking, and I'm telling you how suddenly it's going to come upon us, and that we, the people of God, are the only hope. Our arms not going to save us. Our power in the field of battle is not going to save this country.
Amen.
It is just a handful of people who really believe God.
Hallelujah.
That are going to rise up out of the destruction. Sometimes we don't tell you right out. We read a lot of scriptures. But you want to know how you are going to play a part in this. And I want to direct your attention to Ezekiel chapter 1. And I will just tell you what Ezekiel chapter 1 says. Did I say 1? No. Ezekiel chapter 1 speaks of the cherubims. Ezekiel chapter 9 speaks of the 6 men who came with their slaughter weapon in their hands. And the one man, the 7th man, who God gave the power to seal the people in their foreheads. You hear me? Seal you in your mind. This is what's happening. God has given us the power of understanding to seal you in your minds with the truth, which will set you free, which will give you power against the power of the enemy, against the mark of the beast, and power to overcome. Power to pray and stop kingdoms. Power to stop armies. Power to turn back the might of nations. Said the Lord God of hosts. Amen. And this is what we're talking about. We are talking about a people who shall rise up, not in legend, or not in some long time to come, in some far away age, but who are sitting right here in these benches tonight, and who by the grace of God, hallelujah, will do the job that God has ordained from the foundation of the world for you. But you know where the job is being done first? Right in your mind. Hallelujah. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to pray to God. God's going to have to contact you himself. God's going to have to show you. Some of your lives have been changed. It has been turned certain ways, and you cannot understand why your lives didn't turn the other way, because sometimes you wanted to be way up there in this life. I remember when I was going for medicine to be a doctor. I'd have been a doctor long ago. Amen. But what would it profit me to miss God? Answer me. Hallelujah. What would it profit me to miss God and to become a doctor? Jesus came to me in my room. He said, I make a bargain with you. I say, yes, Lord. He said, why did you want to become a doctor? I said, I wanted to become a doctor because I wanted to help people. I don't like to see people sick. I like to see them well. He says, well, I make an agreement with you. You will get more people healed and made well in your ministry than you could ever get as a doctor. Amen. He said, don't go to Howard University. He said, you come with me and I will give you more satisfaction in the ministry of healing than you could have got as a doctor. I said, okay, God. It was a deal. It was a deal. And I began to ask God for healing. And I began to get healing from that day until this day, 35 years ago. Thank you, Jesus. Oy, hallelujah. Bless his holy name, brethren. I am saying to you that there's a call tonight. There's a trumpet sound tonight. Hallelujah. And if you will hear it, it's the fifth trumpet sounding. Because the fifth seal has been opened long ago. And there's no more mystery about the fifth message. And it's the fifth message you are hearing. The message of the surrender of the soulish man to God. So that he might use you as an instrument. Hallelujah. Even as a forerunner before the coming of Jesus Christ. To proclaim, hallelujah, the acceptable year of the Lord. Hey, glory to God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Well, glory.
Bless his name.
Hallelujah. It couldn't be plainer. I don't think it has ever come out plainer. No, Sister Reese. It never came out plainer. God wants to talk to you people here tonight plain. And even those that are absent. Hallelujah. It is God's ordained plan. Amen. Because those who are here have a special responsibility. And you will have to tell those who are not here, amen, that God says that the fifth trumpet is sounding. And it's sounding. And it's been sounding for a long time. And the time has come for you to begin to look up and lift up your heads. Now, the Lord said that when the brethren ask him, God, tell us about your coming and the time that we would know the exact time what to do. He said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation, stand up. Not sit down. Stand up means take authority over. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, take authority over the holy place, church. He said, then get out. Start climbing. Start going up the mountainside. God wants you up into the higher place, for he's going to take you through the veil. Do we understand it?
Yes.
I'm going to explain what taking through the veil is, because I said it but somebody missed it, and I'm going to really go into it a little bit. But let me just explain this point to you, that we see today, we saw last year May, the end of May, the Pope shot in St. Peter's Square in Rome, and he was put into the hospital. And you wonder why. The first you ever heard of a Pope being shot, especially in a modern time like this, you don't expect these things to happen. But the Pope was shot, and it was for a reason. Rome and the World Council of Churches were about to come together. Already most of the churches have given over to the Roman Church. The church in Germany, Church of Martin Luther, that's a Lutheran church, say they don't see any reason why they shouldn't be joined back with the Roman Church. The church in Russia, the Russian Orthodox Church, can find no reason. The Greek Orthodox Church can find no reason. The African Church can find no reason. The English Church, in the last issue of the Time magazine, dated the 22nd of March, 1982, the English Church has made final arrangements with the Church of Rome to take over, except that they will work out the details. If you didn't catch it in your newspaper, that the Time magazine is still on the stands and the newsstand, go get one for yourself and read it and cut out that article. Are you hearing me? Now, what's the meaning of all this? The meaning of all this is that the next thing is to be taken over is the charismatic church. Pardon me. Because all charismatic, Catholic charismatics have been told that they are Catholics first and charismatics next, and that every move of the church must be ended up in the Catholic Church. This is what they say, and this is what they're after. But there's still more ominous signs than that. Our leaders of the Pentecostal church have conceded to Rome that Rome must have the Pentecostal church. What does that mean? It means nothing is left. That's what it means. It means that somehow or the other, Rome, which represents the one world church, whether it be Rome, the Antichrist will come out of, or somewhere else, who knows? But what we are saying is that the one world church is about ready to take over everything. And God said, when you see that, then get up into the mountains, Mount Zion, because it's time to go through the veil. Let me show you the going through the veil in the scriptures. Check Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. Read that for me, please. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 6. And you see what is meant by going through the veil.
And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.
Praise God. And we saw that half of the church went and half was left in the darkness. Because, not because they were unclean, they were virgins. And they were not defiled with the woman church. They were clean, they had on good garments, they had on their wedding garments, they were prepared and ready. But their problem was with the oil, the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
I want you to know, brethren, that if you don't obey the Holy Ghost in this hour, you're going to be outside. In spite of your being baptized in the Holy Ghost, if you don't obey the Holy Ghost, you will be outside. So we better learn, begin to learn how to obey the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For the Holy Ghost is going to take the church at midnight through the veil. And it's no secret that when things get too bad down here, when things get so bad that man is going to destroy the earth, God's going to quickly come in you to give you the power to stop the devil. Could it be plainer, Sister Reese? I give you a scripture for that. You want a scripture? You turn your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Revelation and somebody read for me verse 3. God will give the church power when it is time to deliver the world from the power of Satan. Read it.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. In
do we hear that? So if you think we have power now, just wait a little, because God says he's going to give power to his two witnesses, which would be the Spirit and the Word. And the Lord God says that we are becoming the Word of God,
And we also will be so filled with the Spirit that we will represent the Spirit of God in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Spirit of and the Word going to walk down the streets of San Francisco. If anything is left of it after what is to come.
Oh, glory. Oh.
Did you hear that one? It just passed you. Praise be to God. We are seeing then a time period in the tabernacle. And I could actually mark on this 1982 right here at the golden altar. You notice that I'm not dealing with the church at large. I'm dealing with the first fruits company.
Yes.
Because the five wise virgins are the first fruits company. I'm just dealing with the company of people who must go in right now. And they are going in first. And I don't see why I should waste the time to preach about all the other things when I'm definitely catering to the first fruits company. The reason my congregations are so small is because I don't want them bigger. I want to preach to the remnant. That's what God sent me to do. Who is going to do it if I don't do it? God sent me to do it, and if I don't do it, who is going to do it? Everybody running for the crowds. Everybody wants the big crowds to preach to. And I want the little crowds. The remnant people. Because there's such a need right here, brethren, for you to understand the truth that Jesus Christ is coming inside of you, the church, first before he comes in the world outside there.
Yeah.
Don't you see how reasonable it is? That if Jesus is coming to the world, you'd have to come to us first.
Yeah.
Since we are nearer to him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So we touched on everything. We touch on every piece of scripture. And I'm going to ask you to just catch up the ends of this message. Catch up the ends that I didn't touch on, that I didn't dwell on too long. You just catch up the ends and let me hear from you what you want to know about what is coming. Remember, we are in 1982 and we are up against this thing. But let me cut down some of your fear. God never comes too late.
Yes.
And he never gives you the message too early. And I tell you what, the man Noah built an ark. And the Bible says that it took him like 120 years to build the ark while he was preaching. But suppose Noah had got anxious and 50 years out of the 100, let's say the 20 years, after he preached for 100 years, he said, let me put on the seal onto the ark. Seal it. You know, you seal a boat. What do you think would happen? When he was ready for floating, it would be sinking. You know why? The seal can't stand the sun. The only time the seal goes on is when the ark is ready to take into water. And the water will preserve the seal. I'm talking about the seal that God's sealing on the forehead. He wasn't going to seal you and leave you there to get rusty. Since God is telling you how to escape now, it must be that he is about ready. Because the seal of the living God in your foreheads, in your minds, is the word of God, the word of life, the word of faith, the word of strength, the word of belief in your God. So that when the world begins to move all around you and the mountains being thrown down and cast into the midst of the sea, you will not be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. I want you to come back now and ask me the questions that have been on your heart. I want to hear what your heart is saying about this message that you have heard tonight. There is much more that I could say, but I'd prefer to say it when you ask me the questions. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You mentioned Matthew 24 and 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet.
Yes.
Okay. Spoken by Daniel the prophet.
Yes.
To stand in the holy place.
Yes.
Would you refine that a little bit more? It says holy place.
Yes. Okay. It means the holy place, church. And it means the soul of man. It means a holy place, church, and it means the soul of man. Now, the word abomination means sin, a horrible sin. And desolation means destruction. Now, we have seen abomination out in the outer court. You know, homosexuality. All kinds of abomination is out there. And in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they speak of the man of sin and the lawless one. Huh? So we're talking about the sin of rebellion reaching to its fullness. Rebellion against God. In other words, look with me, brethren. Just look here with me. The holy place is the area where man submits himself to God. The outer court is the area where man dies. Dies to sin. Dies to self. Right? The death to sin message, the death to self message. That's the outer court. But the holy place is life. Life in the spirit. Life in the word. Life in surrender. Are you there? Life in the spirit, that's the candlestick. Life in the word, that's the table of showbread. Life in surrender to God. And that's perfect life. Instead of that, we see a rebellion in the holy place. That men in the holy place start doing their own thing. And so although they have the spirit, they are gone into humanism. You know what humanism is?
Yes.
You talk about secular humanism, and we mean the humanism out there. But when we talk about Christian humanism, we mean the humanism where man get up in the church and rule the church in the name of God. Take over God's place. We talk about humanism where a man says he is the head of God's church in the world. When we know in the Bible that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. This is what we call humanism. Christian humanism. So this not only comes here, but in the soul of man. Man become lawless. No submission. Women won't submit to their own husbands. In the church, you can't get two elders to submit one to another. You think it's little trouble we are having over the country? People will not submit to one another. The man who is right have to submit to the one who is wrong. Just to get harmony. Hey! Glory to God, amen. So, this is what we're talking about, brother. That the abomination that destroyed the world, that has caused destruction in the church, is against rearing up its ugly head, and the people of God are coming under the power of lawlessness rather than under the power of God. And the only thing God can do is throw fire into the holy place. And although he gave the outer court to fire, he's going to give the holy place to fire also, so that you run into the Holy of Holies under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes. Amen.
Thank you.
Usha. Thank you.
Yes.
until he that restrained was taken away. They're talking about the Holy Spirit coming forth in man.
The translation is wrong.
I know.
Good. It says, he that restrain will restrain until the Antichrist rises up in the midst. So the first he is speaking of the Holy Ghost restraining. The second he is speaking of the Antichrist rising up. Not taken out of the way, but rising up. Yes.
You know, Antichrist, does that mean Christ or another Christ?
Strangest thing, you should ask that. Hallelujah. The Antichrist has always come as an angel of light and pretend to be Christ, or pretend to be like Christ, but he is Antichrist. In other words, it's deception we're talking about. See, so this is the very epitome, the highest point of deception that will come forth in the church, just like Judas coming forth among the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So will an apostle come forth and deceive the people. Antichrist is coming out of the church. Yes, sister. Rises up in the midst. That's what the word said. Et mesugenete. Rise up in out of midst. Come forth. So he's coming forth out of our midst. Believe you me, from the church, yes.
So it's the Holy Spirit that's restraining the nature in us now.
Not only in us, but out there too in the world. Let me explain that to you. I mentioned that the Pope was shot. I did not mention that he was going to have a meeting with the World Council of Churches when he was shot, and the shooting put off the meeting, and that meeting has not yet come back around up to now. See, so God gave us more time. See, restraining, and he's holding it back there until we're ready. Isn't it a good God?
Yes. I get what you said, but you're saying this one religious figure typifies that which is going on in the holy place.
He does.
Man manifesting himself as God. God.
Yes.
Alright. Does that tie in? This is why you read from Revelations, the 9th chapter and the 13th verse. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God.
Yeah.
Could you clarify that voice from off of the golden altar?
The voice is the trumpet of the fifth message. Because it is the trumpet of the fifth message that usher you into the sixth. If you obey the fifth, immediately, bam, we go through that veil into the sixth. See, because when that offering is perfect, you notice why the horns? You notice horns out here. And it means force, compulsion. There's no way, no mercy, no way to get away. You'd like to get into God, but you don't want to go through salvation. No way out. It is a must. Amen? Well, this again is another compulsion. Before you can go through the veil, this is compulsory. Force. And there's no way around it. See, no compromise. Yet it is gold, the nature of God. Yes.
The scripture in Revelation that says he gave the beast power to prevail.
That's over. Yes.
Is that talking about a literal defeat of the saints, or are they talking about the soul in the realm?
No. No. It is just as literal as it could be, because it is. It's something that's happening right now. And the beast has had power over the saints all these years. Okay. Until a time. To understand Revelation, you have to read Daniel. You turn to Daniel chapter 7. And you will see that it says he got power until verse 21. I beheld and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. The reason why we don't speak the word tonight and destroy the whole of hell and stop the devil and everything and imprison him is because we have not come to that fullness. But when Christ comes forth in us, as I'm telling you, it's going to happen suddenly one day when we don't expect it. Right? Then we'll have the power to speak the word and stop the devil. You follow what we're talking about? So the method which God is going to use to save the world is fill you with the fullness of God. And it's not everybody, it's under the five wise virgins. This is good news. This is real good news, brother. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus explained that to me, I could see the whole thing. For years and years I have been asking him, how, Lord? How are you going to do it, Lord? Show me the how of it. Hallelujah. You know why he didn't show me until now? It wasn't time. It wasn't time. I would talk it out. And I couldn't keep a secret like that. Amen. Yeah. So he waited. Yes.
Even though this is going to happen suddenly, I think the Lord has had the people in preparation for a long time, and the preparation has become more intensive.
Intense, yes, yes, yes. And it's going to get worse, sister. It's going to get worse. The scripture said that the third part of man, the third part, which is our flesh, will be in trouble. He says the two witnesses prophesied clothed in sackcloth. Hi, glory to God. We will be in trouble. Physically, it's going to be rough. Habashiah. And I can see God making some way for us physically. I can see God feeding us physically in the trouble. I can see God preserving us physically until we come to that point. Because even tonight, we're not ready. We have too many things on our minds. Amen. You know what I mean? Too many things, too many little things that we have to do. But when God makes it so that we think of nothing more than how to live out today until tomorrow, then you're going to find that you get closer to Jesus. And you'll be talking to him like you're talking to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Yes.
When you spoke of seal and trumpet, you spoke of the fifth seal and also the fifth sounding of the trumpet.
Yes.
And that's vague to me. I'd like to know the difference between the seal and the trumpet if you would bring it around.
Okay. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, the gospel was sealed. No man knew what was going to happen next day. So that his disciples did not know that 3 days' time he was going to rise again. Although he told them, it was a sealed thing to them. Some of the women believed his word. And they went to the tomb on the morning that he said he would rise, and surely he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And the seal was broken. But the trumpet didn't start sound. Not until Pentecost. Then the message went forth, and 3,000 souls were saved the first day. And the next day 5,000. Are you there? So the seal is the mystery.
And the trumpet is the
message.
Okay, so you're saying the mystery, when he broke the fifth seal, the mystery was open.
Open.
But the trumpet was the sounding thereof to the people.
Yes. Quiet. And so you hear the trumpet tonight. You've been hearing it before, but you get a little more tonight, and then a little more another night, and then as God, because the thing is already given to the church now, the mystery is gone. If you notice, when you read Revelation 8 verse 10, it said, and the seventh angel put his foot upon the sea and in the land, and he swear before God that the time should be no longer, and he said then the mystery will be finished. And he said when the seventh angel begin to sound, then the whole mystery will be finished. No more mystery. Follow me? Isn't that beautiful? If you can only understand it. then no, the wrath is when men reject the trumpet. Then the wrath take them. See, praise be to God. Yes.
I'm thinking about the abomination of desolation.
Yes.
And desolation is so much what you see.
Destruction. Yes.
Destruction. And when you said when the people say to God, "You arise,"
mm-hmm.
God had said, "Arise."
Yes.
And then you said in Malachi 3, when He said, "It suddenly comes to thee," will this be when Christ will suddenly come to our temple?
Suddenly come in the midst of the destruction.
Yes. And this is when. When you said suddenly comes, this is when you speak for.
Yes, yes. You see, what's going to happen? We're going to have the greatest revival that there ever was since God made man, and there ever will be, because we'll just be sweeping souls off the street.
So but there, preparation.
We need a preparation to reap the harvest. For a lot of Christians will be just running, you know, frightened and don't know what they're doing. They'll lose all their. Evangelistic zeal. Yes. All the evangelistic zeal you see going on, they forget evangelism. They will run into hide. But the people who have the power of God will begin to reap in the harvest and haul in the souls as never before in the history of the world. People will come begging you, standing in line to be saved.
Still,
yeah.
There's a thought in my mind now. You mentioned about the two witnesses,
yeah.
Like that unto the word and the spirit. But it also says the two witnesses lied in the street
dead.
Of the great city.
Yes.
That is known as Egypt and Sodom.
Sodom.
Okay.
You better believe it.
Are you saying that that is
San Francisco? No, brother.
Between four and five that you're drawing.
No, five and six.
Between five and six.
Yes.
But not four and five.
No, no, no.
Okay, six and five.
Yeah, we're past four and five.
Okay.
All right. See. Hallelujah. I really thought you were going to ask me the question that was seemed to be pertinent with that, you know, Egypt and Sodom, which city is that? It really meant Babylon.
Yes.
As the whole world system, you see. And the next question that somebody probably wanted to ask, how could the Word and the Spirit die and their dead bodies be in the street? You see, Jesus Christ was the Word, wasn't He?
Yeah.
And didn't He die? And He said He was the Spirit, because He said, if you want to see the Father, look at Me. And so He died. Well, what God is saying is that we are going to overcome death by a demonstration that will shake the whole world. Amen. People who know you, people who you live with, if you should die and they know that you die and you were killed by the government, and 3 days after that you rise up and go back to your house in your neighborhood and talk to the neighbors on the corner of the street, they would be dropping on their knees as you walk down the street. And the power and the glory and the radiance of God would be the greatest, because you would be now a resurrected being, and that's the beginning of the first fruit resurrection.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's what is going to cause the great revival.
The great revival, are you safe in saying the everlasting gospel?
Everlasting gospel will be preached. You see, but first of all, of course, there's a 3.5 year period wherein you will minister supernaturally, like Jesus ministered flesh and blood for 3.5 years and no man could kill Him. So in the destruction you won't be killed. Nobody will be able to kill you, although you are flesh and blood and eating food and sleeping and getting tired. Just the power that Moses had. You remember when Moses was in Egypt, that Pharaoh couldn't touch him? It never occurred funny to you how Pharaoh wanted to kill all the Israelites and couldn't touch Moses, who was coming into his palace every day. Yet the stupid Pharaoh, when Moses left him, turned his back and went into the desert, he followed him. He should have known better, sister. Praise be to God.
So these ministers that are speaking about the restraining that is the church, that restraining and the Antichrist cannot come forth until after the church is taken out of the way. And we know that there is a false, but then it's to explain that, you know, so that
You see, the church is sleeping. And that's why God won't make the Antichrist come forth. Because if he comes forth, he'll just wipe us right off. See? So what God is doing, he's seen to it that we wake and get our lamps trimmed and ready. And then he loosed the four spirits that are bound in the river Euphrates, the spirits of destruction that are working upon the men in Russia, the men in the United States, the men all over the world building weapons of war and destruction tonight to kill humanity.
So in other words, as you said about the Pope, that was the Holy Ghost restrained.
The Holy Ghost is stopping it. Every time they try to get together, something happened. And it's going to keep on happening, and the Holy Ghost is going to keep on holding back until the church is ready. But God has given me an urgent message to say, get ready.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I don't know if you read what Pat Robertson said. And yeah, you read Pat Robertson's letter, that he believed that Russia must attack, probably 1982, must attack somewhere like Iran and places like that. And before 1984, he thinks Russia must make a major attack on the United States, because she wouldn't have a chance after that, because we are building up so fast. Of course, that's man's calculation again. Yeah. But sometimes we could listen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And so, since we don't have anything else to ask, let us turn the meeting back over to Sister Reese. And she'll tell you about tomorrow. God bless you in the name of the Lord.